You're listening to EPN, the e-podcast network.
Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network, your channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who share business strategies and insights that can all help you build your business, leading to your business success. And now, broadcasting from anywhere between Brazil, South America to Los Angeles, California, it is your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Today, we are with Itai Leshem, the founder and CEO of TrailVest.com, a soon-to-be-launched online media platform that connects people in a unique and targeted way. Itai, welcome to Enterprise Radio.
Thanks. Happy to be here.
And the pleasure is certainly ours, and thanks for coming to us from Tel Aviv, Israel this evening. Now, in regards to the LinkedIn earnings debacle, what went wrong there and how did it happen? And did you see this coming?
I'll start with the end. I saw it coming. During the 3 months which preceded the LinkedIn's crash, I've written about a dozen articles on my LinkedIn profile alerting of such a possible debacle and also detailing what's wrong and providing some solutions I believed I had. Of course, no one paid attention. About what went wrong, it's of course a good question. I believe that if I'll shortly describe the process I went through in those 3 months, you would also get an answer for what went wrong, and it would also be a very telling process. About 6 months ago, being a co-founder and CEO of a young startup, I decided to get much more active on LinkedIn in order to search for employees, to learn from others about the market, and also to understand the challenges we would be facing. So I began on LinkedIn to search for interesting articles written by others, and even began writing some myself. I didn't need more than 2 weeks to sense that something was really wrong with LinkedIn. LinkedIn specifically states to its members on numerous times that if you invest the time and the efforts to publish a professional article on LinkedIn, it would send notifications of your new article to all your connections and followers. Using that red flag indicator on the top right side of the screen. So let's say you have 400 connections. Each time you write an article, all those 400 connections who enter LinkedIn later on should be notified of your article and get the chance to read it if they choose. But what I saw, for instance, Craig Newmark, the founder of Craigslist. He wrote several articles on LinkedIn about 35 during 2015, and it was something really strange that I didn't have any explanation for it. Craig has about 900,000 followers on LinkedIn, almost a million, but most of his articles got less than 400 views each. Now you don't need to be an expert on anything to understand that if 900,000 members get a notification for something, for anything, there's absolutely no way only 400 of them would actually click that notification to enter the article. So I was really curious from that, and I decided to dig deeper. Okay, so after I saw the Craig's Newmark statistics on LinkedIn, I decided to pick about 30 high-caliber members of LinkedIn, ones that have hundreds of thousands or even millions of followers. And I've created a spreadsheet and poured into it the statistics LinkedIn displays about the posts written by those 30 high-caliber members. Basically, it was the number of followers they had, the average number of views per post, and the average number of likes. And the number of views divided by the number of followers. The conclusion that I got from that spreadsheet were amazing to me. when you are a member of any social network, but especially on LinkedIn, when you spend the time to connect with others and publish articles there, you would expect at least two things. The first would be that the more you grow your network with quality connections, the more readers your post would get. And the second thing you would expect is that the more engagement your article draws from others, meaning the more likes, comments, and shares other members provide your article, then the more you extend your readers outside your first circle of connections. Basically, more would read you if you have a good article and that manages to provide a lot of engagement from others. And what I found out was that there was simply no correlation between the number of connections or followers you have and the number of members which LinkedIn notifies of your post. And there was no correlation between the engagement level of a post, meaning how well it did, what's the quality of your post, and there's no correlation between that and the total number of readers your post would get. So basically, what's currently, and that's what I saw back then on LinkedIn, is that it doesn't matter what size your connection are on LinkedIn. You can be very well connected and have 10,000 followers or hundreds of thousands or more. There's absolutely no connection between that and the number of people who would read what you write there or who would engage with you. And this is totally unexplainable. And the second thing, which is actually a pity, there was no connection between the quality of writing or the quality of posts, as can be measured by the engagement of others with it. I mean, the more people engage with it, the more it means that your post or your article has at least a better quality for them. And so there's no connection between the quality of your post and the how well it will do on LinkedIn. You can be Einstein. If Einstein would live today and wrote his theory of relativity, he would get probably 20 views, 6 likes, and no one would know that he wrote that theory. So that was really pity. And later on, I also found out that LinkedIn didn't manage to provide correct metrics of the engagement level of its users with the platform. And this, of course, caused problems for it, including with NASDAQ. So there were several issues with LinkedIn that went wrong, and basically they involve or they concern not providing members with the tools they need to engage, and not promoting or providing value for members who actually manage to write interesting stuff and engage with others.
And you certainly make some good points there. Now, what must LinkedIn do in the future in order to improve things and regain shareholders' confidence and trust?
Okay, well, I guess that if they want to regain a shareholders' trust, I think they can't start from handling the shareholders. They need to start handling better their members and providing them what they want. The only chance of LinkedIn to continue and be a great company which would be valued by its shareholders is if it manages to provide for its members the tools to engage in a better way than today. And in order to grow its engagement, all the rest of its problems, some of them maybe not getting enough dollars for marketing solution and other stuff, they will all fall in line once LinkedIn manages to provide a better service and gain from that a lot more engagement. The more engagement LinkedIn would have, the better all its other products and services will do. So in order to do that, there are at least two or three things they must do, I believe, and they are pretty simple things. The first is LinkedIn must notify all of our connections on LinkedIn of any new article we write. If we invest the time to write articles there, and other people are following us or are connected to us, meaning they want to get to receive from us content, there's simply no reason why LinkedIn shouldn't notify them. They can always unfollow, but it doesn't do that now. No one knows of new posts you post, and that's why the engagement levels are low. The second thing I think they should do is get rid, or at least minimize to the minimum, their editorial decision or editorial reviews of posts. Basically, today, the only way on LinkedIn to write a post and get it read by many others of your professionals or other professions is if someone on LinkedIn, a human on LinkedIn, an editor, content editor, would read your post and decide that is interesting enough to promote it and distribute it to other members. This leads to a completely ridiculous reality. You've got journalists who are editors, who maybe in their profession they are journalists, who need to go over, they probably don't go over even 3% of all the articles written, because you have 150,000 articles written every week on LinkedIn, and they have 200, 300 editors. No one can read that much. So the editors read about 3% of the articles written, but they have no tools to assess the quality of those articles. If an accountant writes something on his profession, those journalists don't know accounting. If a lawyer writes something professional on his field, they have no lawyers who read and understand it, and there are 10,000 other professions those editors don't understand anything about. So letting them decide which posts have the right quality to be distributed to other is a foolish foolish thing. Not to mention that there is currently, although LinkedIn states otherwise, you don't really get content that is relevant to your profession. You can be an accountant from Canada, an engineer from Israel, or a CEO of an agriculture company from the States. All those three and many others always get the same kind of content, the same articles written by the same guys. So this basically is not a professional network. If you have a profession and you LinkedIn knows what it is, why do we all read the same articles? Why isn't there more diversity? So what I would do if I were them is I would develop an algorithm, a smart algorithm, that would be able to pick articles by professionals who got very good engagement metrics by the small readers from their connections already. So if you have an article that got 10% is a larger number, 10% of the number of 10% likes out of the total number of people who read that article, and maybe 5% comments, that should make the algorithm know that that article is a very engaging article by that audience, and it should choose that article and circle it for extended audiences outside the first connection. The only way to really manage to provide professional content to 400 million professionals on LinkedIn is by automating the process of deciding which articles are worth spreading to more people. Otherwise, when you have a certain amount of editors who don't understand about most other professions, of course, I'm sure they are great people and very professional in their field, but they can't understand what most other professionals on LinkedIn write. So you really can't let them decide who gets to read what, and that's what happens today. So basically, LinkedIn needs to pay attention to its user base, listen to what they need, and provide them the tools to engage between themselves and also benefit LinkedIn by doing so.
Certainly some very interesting information today. We are joined by Itai Lesham, the founder and CEO of Trailvest.com, a soon-to-be-launched online media platform that connects people in a unique and targeted way here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. You can also follow the show on Twitter simply at ePodcast Network. Itai, which sites and business social networks are in position to benefit the most from LinkedIn's recent struggles, and which networks are winning the race?
I don't think that currently the current struggles of LinkedIn it can benefit others because they are not large enough players to snatch its customer base. And if LinkedIn gets back on track, which I hope and believe they would, they can regain the same status they had before. Nothing really changed. They just need to provide better service for their members, and still no one can take their lead on that.
Itai, if you would, what are you working on now, and can you preview the upcoming launch or platform a bit on Trailvest.com?
Well, our startup has identified a serious flaw in today's social networks, and we want to provide the tool that would patch that flow, fix it for the benefit of all users, and also get and also benefit the current social networks. Basically, we are setting up a tool that would enable users to target other users with the same tools currently advertisers only have. Meaning, if you have something interesting to write to a certain type of audience that you know. You don't know them personally, you would be able to do that with us. So let's say you want to tell people who currently live in a specific neighborhood in London something, you would be able to do that. You would be able to target people based on location, time, gender, age, and other specifications. And those members would get you you would get your approach in their feed, and we would have an algorithm that would rate those approaches and provide others with the best possible content and engagement level possible. We're trying to really do something that currently has not been done and really open our networking to people who share the same experiences and interests as us, but we don't know them and currently have no way of reaching them. It would provide the match value, I guess. So Matt, I'll give you a short example. If you want to approach all the members who are on a specific show with you or on a specific restaurant or anywhere, it's a specific event you've been to, you would be able to easily target them with the tools we would provide you.
Sounds like a very useful tool, no doubt, and I'm sure you're looking forward to launching that soon, and we'll certainly keep tabs on that and have you come back for an update accordingly. In conclusion, how has your legal background benefited you in your transition to tech entrepreneurism?
Basically, it helps on the fields of knowing how corporations and companies run, knowing the at least from the legal point of view, the struggles, and also the business point of view. And specifically, it, of course, helped me with writing the post I did on LinkedIn, because some of them you needed a legal background to write on. But mostly, I can't say it really helped me. Basically, you need to enter into your innovation and entrepreneur's mode, and legal knowledge can help a lot, but basically, It's with, from yourself. You need to have it in your core. It doesn't matter which profession you are.
It is trailvest.com. Itai, we certainly thank you for joining us from Tel Aviv, Israel today, and all of us here at EPN wish you all the success. And thanks for being a part of Enterprise Radio, and certainly look forward to a future conversation with an update on how things are going.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate this opportunity.
And you're more than welcome, and the pleasure certainly ours. We have been speaking with Itai Leshem, the founder and CEO of trailvest.com, a soon-to-be-launched online media platform that connects people in a unique and targeted way. Join their early adopters list, and they will update you when their beta is ready by visiting, once again, trailvest.com. This is Eric Dine. You've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks again for listening to Enterprise Radio here on the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. To subscribe for future programming, simply visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.